there wasn't a very many cars in the parking lot, and I looked at my wife and I said, "Uh-oh, I don't know what's going on today." And she said, "Well, they probably heard who was preaching." So she likes to give me a hard time, and it worked this morning. A few months ago, I gave a devotional at the 20s and 30s group that the church does, and I was talking about the reason that those meetings are so important that we have with each other. Why it is that we come together, we fellowship, we get to know each other, and we just lean on each other in those meetings. So this morning, what I wanted to do was bring that lesson here to kind of tie it into church as well. Not just the meetings that we do outside of normal church services, but why we come here as well. So this morning, I want to start by asking for a show of hands, anyone in this building right now that's perfect? No hands? Have you ever done anything wrong? I think everybody would raise their hand to that one. Yeah. So not seeing any hands go up that we're all perfect, we all know that none of those sitting in this building are perfect, just like every other one of us. I want today to be an encouragement about each of us and understanding that leaning on each other was God's plan from the very beginning. Have you ever felt down, depressed, discouraged? Have you ever felt like you let down a family member? Something that falls in this realm? What do you do to make yourself feel better? Talking it through with your spouse or friends, separating yourself and reflecting on that. We all have our ways of coping with these feelings, and if they help you, then they work. Have you ever had these feelings during your walk with God and struggled to live a Christian life? Today it's even harder. In your pockets, every single one of you have temptation 24/7. It's not easy to walk that Christian life. Have you ever felt like you let God down? Like you aren't good enough or don't deserve what God has given you? You sin and feel like you can't be forgiven. When you have these feelings, what do you do? Do you put yourself down? Think God won't forgive you? Think that it was just so bad that God just will turn his eye on you? Do you internalize the feelings, not express them? Do you pray? Do you look to God through his word to understand the sin that you had? Do you talk it through with your spouse, your Christian support system, church leaders, your pastor? Leading a Christian life is a struggle, no matter where you are or the situation you're in. Thankfully, God gives us different ways to handle that struggle so that we will remain faithful to him. We are also reassured throughout the Bible that his grace and mercy is always there, and it's always enough. But God also knows that we each have needs. He knows his grace and mercy will be our forgiveness, and that we can find comfort in that. But God realized early on in the life of men that being alone and trying to do this life by yourself is impossible. The very first mention of this from God is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a suitable helper." From the very beginning, people have always needed others to support and help them through this life. Moving further along in the Bible, before Jesus started his ministry, what did he do? Think about that. The first couple books the first few chapters of each book talks about he gathered his apostles to walk with him, support him in his ministry. Even Jesus, God's own son, the only human to ever walk this earth that was perfect, needed his family to support him while he was here. If God knew thousands of years ago that a person could not do this life by themselves, why would today be any different? If even Jesus did not walk on this earth alone, even the perfect person, the person that we look to more than anyone else to how to walk this life, why would God expect us to do this alone? Guess what? He didn't. That's what this is for. We still need each other. We still come together. We still support each other through these meetings each week. Through the writers of the Bible, God gives examples of the need for fellowship among Christians. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Another verse, you see it up here, the fellowship of the believers, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. "They devoted themselves to the apostles, teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This verse, these verses mention fellowship specifically. They mention coming together the first day of the week and breaking bread. They mention going to each other's homes, getting to know each other. They mention all the things that you really need when you're fellowshipping. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. These verses show us examples of early Christian fellowship and how that helped the church and its members to grow and become closer to God. It may seem odd, but in fellowship with each other, we will grow closer to God. Not just with each other, but we will grow closer to God through the relationships that we have with our fellow Christians. Now, we know that God knows our needs and provides Christian fellowship here on earth for support. Each of us has struggles and each of us has doubts. When we come together in meetings like this, we should come with a sense of security to and for each other. We should come with a sense of love and helpfulness for each other. We should come ready to carry burdens for each other. And the most difficult thing to do for us as humans, we should come ready to lean on our brothers and sisters for support. We should not be afraid to say that we have made a mistake, that we have sinned, and we should not be afraid to lean on those around us for that support. James chapter 5 at verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Verse 19 of the same chapter. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Another reason fellowship with Christians is so important is that humans have the tendency to become like those we spend the most time with. Motivational speaker Jim Rohn has a famous quote, "You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with." And social psychologist Dr. David McClellan said, "The people you habitually associate with determine as much as 95% of the success or failure in your life." While it is proven that we are more likely to have a much wider circle than five people, most of us, I will say, we become or have tendencies similar to the five that are most recently around you. Let's think about this for a second. Consider for a moment the five people that each of you spend the most time with. Likely, it's going to be your spouse or your family, your coworkers, friends, and your church family. Now think about the influence each of these have in your life. Think about the behavioral tendencies you have when you're around these groups. Do they shift depending on which group you are with? Which one makes you the best person and the best Christian? If those we surround ourselves with have such an influence on not only our success and failures, but also our lifestyle tendencies, shouldn't we surround ourselves with those who will have the ability to make us better Christians and get us to heaven? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, it says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 4, it says, "Walk with the wise and become wise." In the same thread, God sends us into the world each day to be his messengers. God wants us to be lights for him to all those we meet. This cannot be in fellowship with Christians only. We must meet the sinner where they are. When we are in the world, we are to bring sinners to him to be saved. To achieve this, we cannot judge others. We cannot push them aside because of their sin, regardless of what that sin has been. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When we see someone living in sin, we should plead with them gently, in love, not in anger or discernment. When we are being God's messengers to the world, it can be draining. It can pull us down. This is, again, why Christian fellowship and church services are so important. When we feel drained from the world, when we feel drained from putting it out to bring people to Christ, It's not the same relationship when you are the giver and not always the giver. It can drain us as Christians. It can drain us as people. When we feel drained from the world, we can recharge with those like-minded Christians. Sometimes the one who need us most are sitting right next to us in church. Some of us here have put in a long, hard week of bringing souls to Jesus, and it's draining. Lean on the person next to you. Lean on them and go to them for support to recharge your batteries. This morning, I want to focus on one of my favorite parts of fellowship, uplifting each other. I believe when the early Christians got together and had fellowship, they would share their favorite story of Jesus, favorite story of one of his apostles, something great that happened to one of them because of their faith in God. I also believe that these early Christians would lift each other up with singing and worship. I believe this is still a great way to lift each other up today. I love singing songs. Will, you do an excellent job leading the singing, even if we do have the wrong song occasionally. It's so uplifting for me to hear all the voices sing together praises to the Lord. We each still are going to have our favorite story of Jesus or his disciples, apostles, our favorite parable, verse, section in the Bible. We each have one of those that we go to lift ourselves up. We still have wonderful stories and life events that we can celebrate together. We talk about babies being born. I was talking to Becky this morning, and within at Christmas at the Ellis family this year, there's going to be 7 babies under 2 years old. Let's celebrate that. That's great. That's awesome. Come together and celebrate the joys that we have, whether it's a new job or a new promotion, the light at the end of the tunnel. You know, even that, I know I love it. If you find $20 in your pocket when you put them on out of the dryer, that's the best feeling in the world. We can still come together and sing and worship God to lift each other up. I wanted to share with you this morning a few verses that I turn to myself in times of struggle and in times of joy. These verses help me make it through, and I hope you will find that they're useful for you if you ever need them. The first one that I always go to before I go to any other scripture is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the first verse at any point in time, before I look at any other verse in the Bible, that I go to. This one helps me to understand that every verse in the Bible is from God, it is breathed by God, and it is the way that I can make sure that all the other verses are true. I don't have to think about, is this verse true or is this verse true? I read this one and I know right off the top, all these verses are true. This verse helps me because the previous verses before it discussed struggles that Timothy was having, and that this verse was written from Paul to Timothy from God, encouraging Timothy to stay strong against those who deceive him when he is persecuted. Now, leading into after that verse, this next verse is one of my favorites in my walk with God each day. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. This verse speaks to the struggles that each of us have, but it also lets us know God believes we can handle whatever that struggle is. Sometimes we have a hard time believing that God is not allowing us to be tempted more than we can bear. But then I remember this verse, and then also the previous verse, and know that God thinks I can handle whatever my current struggle is. He wouldn't have put me in this situation if he didn't think I could handle it, or if he wasn't going to give me a way out. I never have to feel like I'm drowning because I look at this verse and I know that Jesus and God are going to provide me a way out if it's more than I can bear. Fellowship is not only coming together to converse, eat, and be happy. It is also coming together to support each other, pray for each other, and edify one another. Don't take this journey of being a Christian alone. Don't hold your burdens and cares inside. Ask your brothers and sisters for support when you struggle. Ask for prayers or Bible study or simply a text asking for help or advice. Remember, we all sin and fall short. We have all admitted to that already here today. Don't let your fear of being judged or thought of differently stop you from seeking the support you need. If anyone today is struggling with anything, please let us know. We can pray together. We can help you carry that burden. Don't do this alone. Earlier, we mentioned Acts 2 about fellowship with one another. But in Acts 2:38, God tells us to repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. If you haven't made the decision to become a Christian, do that now. By not raising our hand that we are perfect, we have all confessed here today that we are sinners. One of the steps in salvation, confess. I urge you to take that next step and come forward. Put Christ on in baptism and let him add you to our number daily, those that are saved. We aren't promised another day, another hour, another minute. So come now for whatever your need as together we stand and sing the invitation song.